And what you don't realize is 100 visitors a day, you're never going to get a meaningful result. Literally, because you will not leave the page that you're working on or the headline you're working on unchanged long enough to get enough data points for it to matter. So there's just no point in doing those kind of tests that early, I don't think. I think early on, get traffic, see how people respond to what you're offering, and then react to the way they're responding and try and get more traffic.
Hey, welcome to season one, episode three of the Double Your Freelancing podcast. This first season, as you know by now, is all about lead generation. What actual concrete things can you do to get client leads, whether it's online or even offline? So in this episode, I sat down with Josh Judy of FearlessSalaryNegotiation.com. Josh is by far, in my mind at least, the king of SEO. When it comes to getting traffic to your site by creating high quality content, Josh is the guy I turn to. He's actually, to be honest, when I've been looking at how can I further boost the organic traffic I get to my own site, Josh is the guy I turn to. So it made sense for him to come on. While he's not a consultant per se, he does offer coaching as a product to his customers who are job shopping or job hunting or looking to get a raise at their current job. And that's what he does. And he's built a really remarkable funnel that people are searching Google for stuff. They end up on Josh's site. He has lead magnets that get them onto his list. And then that pushes them to ultimately hire him to consult with them on getting a raise or getting the job that they're looking for, getting paid, they're getting a salary, I should say. That is what they want it to be. So if you have thought about using content as a way of generating leads and you've had questions about, well, what do I do when people are reading this content? What do I do next? Then this interview is going to be super valuable for you. But before we get to the interview, again, mega thanks to FreshBooks. Without them, this season would not be possible. And FreshBooks makes incredible software that's easy to use, intuitive, and so on, that is 100% web-based and lets you basically manage all the financial side and even the billing or the time tracking side, I should say, and the financial side of your freelancing business or agency. Again, time tracking, invoicing, expense reporting, all that good stuff is baked into one simple-to-use platform that's meant for small businesses like yours. So if you want to go and give it a shot, 30-day free trial, no credit card required. It'll take a minute to get set up and signed up. Go over to freshbooks.com/double and you can get that free 30-day trial. And finally, don't forget, we've put a lot of effort into building out a book. I mean, how many other podcasts actually come up with an ebook for every season that gives you pretty much everything that we discussed throughout all the audio interviews. So what was discussed? What were some of the actionable next steps that our guests provided you? No need for you to take notes. We've included all of that in this ebook. It's free to download. There's no charge. Again, that's at doubleyourfreelancing.com/season1. All right. So I want to introduce you guys to Josh Judy. I've known Josh for a while. I think we first met way back at MicroConf years ago. I don't even know what year that might have been. But Josh is the founder of FearlessSalaryNegotiation.com. Basically, he helps people who are salaried employees learn how to make more money at their jobs. And the reason I wanted to bring him on, the reason we wanted to speak to him, was he's done a killer job when it comes to not only using SEO to generate a lot of inbound organic traffic to content on a site, but he's done really well with the funnel that leads people from first contact, reading a really in-depth article that Josh has written, all the way down the line to becoming a paying customer of his. So first off, welcome Josh to the show.
Hey, Brennan. It's great to be here. You know, I think this is the first time we've actually talked sort of in a formal setting like this. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking
forward
to it.
Usually it's at the that outdoor restaurant.
Yeah, that's right.
Canada, I guess.
Yeah. with the wind, the brisk wind in April. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is a lot warmer in here.
So what you've set up is a really nicely well-oiled machine that is geared to generate leads and get those leads to buy. I know outside of your coaching, you also offer books and so on. And I want to include that for the topic of this discussion, but I don't want people to think that the only way to do kind of what you're doing here is to also write a book or something like that. Yeah. So take it away. Tell us a bit about kind of the setup you've got and what led you to do it.
Yeah. So I'll give you just sort of like, I won't go real deep. I'll let you decide where we go real deep and where we just kind of skim. But I'll give you a high level overview of what my funnel looks like. And as you mentioned, it starts with content marketing. So that's something, you know, I'm a writer. I started writing books. And so I also like to write nonfiction and teach people things. So all the books that I've written are very explicitly nonfiction teaching type strategy type books. I just sort of ported that over to longer and longer form articles. I would start just by writing, you know, about a topic that I thought was interesting and that would be valuable to people, put a few of those out there, and then just sort of kind of check the results and see which ones are resonating, which ones are getting shared, which ones are driving a lot of traffic, and then sort of go back and double down on those. And I think you have a similar process with your content where you'll look at it a few months later and say, you know, how much traffic is going to which pages, which are the most popular ones, and then just kind of beef those pages up and try and get more traffic and hopefully build sort of a flywheel there. So that's the top end is just content marketing, long form articles.
Right. Okay. So by long form, I'm assuming a few thousand word articles each. Do anything like with specific content upgrades for each article, or do you generally have just a single lead magnet that you use to get people on the list?
So what I do, this is sort of in the past few months, I've gotten much better at this. So I used to get pretty mediocre opt-in rates to email subscribers from organic traffic that came to articles.
Now, what would be mediocre?
1%.
Okay. So 1 out of 100 people would become us.
Yep. Yeah. So 100 people show up and one of them opts in for whatever lead magnet wants, because I was using mostly generic lead magnets and because I was giving too much away on the site. So I looked at what are my most popular pages? Where am I getting a lot of traffic? And I started getting a lot of traffic to some pages, you know, tens of thousands of visitors a month, 10,000, 20,000 a month to certain pages. And so then it made a lot of sense for me to think about how to optimize those pages in terms of, well, if I can go from 1% to 2% opt-in rate, like that's actually a meaningful amount of subscribers. So that's when I started looking at how to create content upgrades for specific high traffic articles. So this is not something I would do for every page on my site. And I do have generic content upgrade type things, or lead magnets as we call them, that are, you know, displayed based on what category I put a page in. So, you know, if it's negotiation, salary negotiation, then I'll have a certain kind of site-wide lead magnet for that. But on some pages, I say, well, this page is about email templates to negotiate your salary. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I did was write a long form article that had the actual email templates on the page. I learned how to get traffic to that article. And then I said, well, wait a minute, I'm only getting 1% opt-ins because I'm offering them a PDF version of the templates they can already copy and paste. What if I pull all the templates from the page and the only way they can get the templates is to opt-in?
Okay. So what I see a lot of people do is they'll, like you said, they'll spit out the templates on the page, and then they'll have the content upgrade be something like get a PDF of all the templates included, or even I've seen get a PDF of this article. Right. So it sounds like what you did though is you just took off the, I assume you still described what you would write in the article, but then the call to action would be get like, you know, turnkey ready to go templates just by opting in. Is that pretty in line?
Yes.
Done? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's funny because, you know, everybody, especially in the internet world, internet business world, we're always looking for like, what's that thing that I can do? And I flip the switch and there's a hockey stick at the other side of it. This is one of the few times I've actually seen that.
What kind of opt-ins are you getting on content upgrade articles now?
4 to 5%, sometimes higher.
Okay. So you've effectively 4 or 5X'd.
Yeah. Yeah. Which significantly changed, you know, my opt-ins went from, you know, 15 a day, 20 a day, 25 a day, which was like pretty good, by the way. I mean, two years ago, Josh, when I started building this business from scratch, would have been really thrilled with 20 a day opt-ins.
Right.
To, you know, 100 to 120 on weekdays now.
Wow.
With the traffic is trending, you know, how organic traffic goes up a little bit over time. So that's happening. But mostly it's just, you can literally see in my Google Analytics, like there's a stair-step function of opt-in rates from, you know, less than 1% site-wide to like 4% site-wide.
Okay, so to sum it up, it sounds like what you've got is you have, am I right in hearing that you have category-specific baseline call to actions, and then
yes,
a specific page might have its own,
But you only do that if, I imagine like the way I do it is I look at what are the articles that are getting consistent Google traffic, like
yes,
enough of it. And yeah, then that's when I invest. I don't build the content upgrade day one. I wait.
Yeah. And I think that's the way to do it. I think that, you know, you and I probably could geek out on this for like a couple of hours, but I think that the first thing you want to do is get traffic to stuff and see what stuff draws the traffic in. Mm-hmm. Then you start optimizing the stuff to turn the traffic into leads, whatever leads are. So in my case, I focus on email opt-ins. And so that's what I did, was I had a bunch of pages and, you know, four or five of them pop up and really start driving traffic. And then you go in and add stuff to those articles to make them better and to rank for more keywords and get more long tail, and you get more and more traffic. And then you say, what's a good lead magnet to offer to people who are specifically hitting this page using these search terms in Google? What do they want? Then I create the lead magnet for that page. In this case, it was easy because it was email templates and they just happened to be on the page. So I pulled them from the page, put them in a PDF. And like you said, I still left the page. It's like 7,000 or 8,000 words about how to write these email templates. And instead of having the email templates on the page, I just put them in a PDF, left the how to write the email stuff on the page. So it's still extremely educational. But if you want copy paste templates, all you have to do is exchange an email address and I'll send them to
you. So you're not bait and switching them. You're giving them the info they need on the page, but if they want the actual templates, then they need opt-in. I mean, would you say that's a good strategy also? I know you've got more turnkey products like books and so on. Would that be a good indicator if you had a lot of people wanting those email templates that could be even a purchasable product that you could offer?
Yes. And I've toyed with that. Actually, just in the last week, I ran an experiment to see what if instead of giving the email templates away, I charged for them. And I didn't run it long enough to get huge results, but yeah, people paid $19 for the templates. You know, I think I ran it for 2 days.
Give two away. And then if they want the remaining 20, they pay the $19 or something like that. That could be, yeah, a good funnel. Okay. But I want to go further down the funnel, but before we get there, you're at 50,000-ish uniques a month at the moment, last we checked. Is that still where you're at?
Yeah, I think it's closer to 55 now. But yeah, 50 or 55.
Outside of just writing really meaty, long content, is there anything you attribute to that growth in organic traffic? Or is it just writing authoritative content and publishing it and that being it?
I think that's the core of it. I think if you do that, you will get organic traffic. Eventually, Google is really good at finding stuff that people want to search for. And right. So, you know, just creating the content is good. I also have gone through phases where like a couple of years ago, I spent a bunch of time answering questions on Quora and linking to some of that content. And so that helps me rank. And it also helps me to figure out like what is resonating with people when I answer questions. And so that's, you know, putting it other places, syndicating to Medium early on, going on podcasts and just getting links back to my site, did a bunch of that stuff to see what worked. And also just to kind of get that foundation built of inbound links, inbound interest and inbound eyeballs from social and other places to kind of spin that up. Now I almost exclusively focus on just Google Analytics search results and then feeding back into that to try and build those search results and get more search.
Yeah, I've noticed myself at least, I get relatively little ongoing referral traffic. I might get a burst when, say, I do, you know, a guest post or go on a podcast. I might get, you know, a handful of people coming over within that first week. But long term, I think it's more of a backlink play for me, at least. It's more of a, okay, this authoritative site has now linked to me. That's great. I assume, and again, I'm not an SEO guru, I'm sure you're much better than this than I am. But the way I look at it is, well, I'm probably going to get a permanent benefit from that inbound link. That's cool. And now I can go and create more content that's meant to be searched to find. But I'll get a natural kind of like uptick in whatever Google thinks of my quality just by the fact that I got this kind of stable of backlinks that I've built up over the years.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I agree with you that, I mean, I focus very early on organic traffic. So almost all like 80 something percent of my traffic or more is organic from Google.
Right.
Early on, I was really focused on, like you said, building that sort of foundation of backlinks from sites. And what I found was, I think this is harder these days, but getting on podcasts was great because that's just, you know, a site here, a site there, you do one or two podcasts a month or three or four podcasts a month for a while, and you get a nice cache of 50 or so backlinks, and then other people will share that stuff. And then you can also get, you know, posted on authoritative sites. I know you've been published on a lot of, you know, big logo sites. Those are harder to get, but once you get them, they're pretty much permanent and Google will say, aha, this is an interesting site that people care about. But I think that that strategy is a very sort of long run strategy. I don't know of any way to just sort of like snap your fingers and make it happen unless you've already done it for another one of your properties.
And I think with all this, I mean, your system, my system, they're all effectively long games, right? I mean, none of this is overnight anything.
No, months. I measure everything in months. I run tests that I'll literally start running a test and then just forget about it for 90 days to 180 days and come back to it and say, well, what happened? And sometimes it's good and sometimes nothing, you know, but there's no such thing as like a 2-day test. Other than I will say you can do some of this when you start getting a lot of traffic. So with 50,000 uniques a month, that means I'm getting, 1500 a day. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I can actually run meaningful sort of short-term tests. Like how do people respond to this new offer? So I can A/B test offers and stuff like that. And that's really useful. And that's why I actually went for Google traffic, because it's the gift that keeps on giving. Assume you don't get hit by an algorithm penalty or Google doesn't totally change their platform. It's so hard to get that referral traffic and other traffic, but the Google traffic pretty much just shows up month after month and will hopefully grow a little bit month over month.
Yeah.
And then you can run tests against all that traffic. And I know you do a lot of personalization work on your sites. And you can see, how are people responding to this personalization? How do they respond when they see this headline that recognizes who they are? And you can get a few thousand data points in a pretty short amount of time. That's the nice thing about it. So that's when you can make those quick changes, or I get that hockey stick I mentioned, is I already had all the traffic coming in. I just wanted to see how that would respond to different offers. And that's a different kind of
model. You couldn't be doing A/B tests when you're getting 100 people a month to your site.
No, which I think is a big mistake. I did some of that stuff. I tried to do that stuff, right? Like, I wasn't doing quote unquote A/B testing, but I was like, oh, I'm going to run this test and see what happens. And what you don't realize is 100 visitors a day, you're never going to get a meaningful result. Literally, because you will not leave the page that you're working on or the headline you're working on unchanged long enough to get enough data points for it to matter. So there's just no point in doing those kind of tests that early, I don't think. I think early on, get traffic, see how people respond to what you're offering, and then react to the way they're responding and try and get more traffic.
Right. Let's go down the funnel now. So I'm reading an article of yours. I showed up from Google. I opted into a content upgrade, and I imagine email number one will be the delivery of that thing I opted in for. How do you get me to buy? Like, what happens next?
So this is sort of, this is the thing I'm working on the hardest right now. And it will depend on, you mentioned that I have sort of three categories that I put people into when they come to my site. And so first of all, it kind of depends on what the category is. And really the thing for me is how urgently do they need help? Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're on the salary negotiation email templates page, you probably need help right now. And I've been asking a lot of people over email, like, when are you negotiating your salary? And a lot of times the answer that I get back is, oh, I already did, right? Because they got the email templates, they use them immediately. And 2 hours later, I say, when are you negotiating their salary? And they already did in the last 2 hours. And so that's extremely urgent. As opposed to somebody who wants to get a raise at their current job, there's much less urgency there. So I move slower with them. But you're right that the first email, I call it the fulfillment email. So it's, here's the thing, here are the templates, here's the cheat sheet, here's what you asked for. And usually I try to immediately tell them who I am and how I'm going to help them in ways that appeal to them. So I tell them, here's what you're going to get. Here's where you probably are. I try to describe what I think their situation looks like right now. And then I try and describe the kind of help that they might need, so that they know what's coming. So that's the first thing that I do.
Now, you mentioned something before I forget. I want to talk about this real quick. So a lot of people opt into your email templates and use them right away before that 2-hour next email comes, asking them kind of where they are, on that timeline. Have you thought about doing anything like, I know most people who opt in here and want these templates, you're about to probably 5 minutes from now use one of these. Hold off before you do that. I've got some stuff I want to send you, over the next, I don't know if there's a way to maybe, Like maybe go in and try to close the deal sooner, because it's one thing for them to just turnkey use your templates, but it's another to get maybe the advisory advice from you specifically about them and their situation kind of at that point of immediate conversion. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've thought about that. It's just something that it's interesting that you said that a lot of people, by the time they get that 2-hour later email that's sent to them after they opt in, have already effectively begun their negotiation.
Yeah. So the problem you describe is one that I'm actively solving. This is less relevant, I think, to coaching, more relevant to the product sales side of things.
Sure.
But literally right now, if you go get those free templates, you're bounced to my, I call it my thanks page, but it's the page that you're redirected to. And it, and the first thing that it says is, don't send that counteroffer yet. There's a minute long video of me saying, hold on, slow down.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Yeah. And here's how it can help me. So all that to say, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I'm using that now. And I talked to, I don't know if you know Josh Earl.
Yeah.
Email marketing extraordinaire. But I was talking to him about it, and he told me, a year and a half, 2 years ago about what he calls the stock pond or the passing parade. So the stock pond is people who are kind of hanging out and they're just ready to learn the new thing that you have. And you just kind of show up and, chat them up a little bit, and you can slowly nurture a relationship with them. And then eventually they'll buy things from you because they're just kind of hanging out waiting to learn something. Then there's the passing parade, which is like, there's a certain window of time where this is really relevant to them, and they're moving by you. And so I emailed him the other day, and I said the email subject was something like stock pond, passing parade, or NASCAR race, ? Which is what you and I are talking about, which is I literally have a 2-hour window that I have to get to know them in. So that's something I'm working on now, is trying to figure out. I've gotten really good at finding those people and giving them something that's really valuable to them when they need it. But the challenge is they're moving so quickly, to slow them down, make sure that they know they have time, they have options, and to work with them. I think in the past week, I've started rolling out different funnels and different ways of interacting with them to try and nurture them and understand what they need and sell them something to help them solve that problem.
But I mean, I would say that I like that stock pond to NASCAR kind of.
Yeah.
if you think about the average listener who is thinking, how can I leverage a lot of what Josh is saying for my own personal consulting business? Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody who lands on your services page and maybe opts into something there, probably going to be more on that fast lane versus somebody who Googled around for, what are the things I need to think about when redesigning my website or something, right? Who probably are not at a decision-making point just yet.
Right.
I think knowing or correlating, I should say, how somebody showed up or where somebody showed up from and yes. What they ended up or where they ended up opting in and why they opted in is a big deal. Because I think what a lot of people, and this is something I want to dig deeper into, but I think what a lot of people might do is they have, like, say they delivered the lead magnet, which is their content mm-hmm. upgrade. And great, now you're on their newsletter or something and you're getting new articles whenever they come out. But there should be a difference. It's just like, for instance, if this were to happen in person, if you were to meet somebody at an event, like say MicroConf, who is somebody that is marginally interested in the kind of work you do, but is not yet, doesn't have a project on the table, you're going to communicate with them differently than somebody who knocks on your door and says, I need help right now.
Yes.
And I think that's something I'd love to now drill deeper into. And specifically, there's different types of paths, especially when you start going down the content creation path where you're intercepting people's queries that they type into Google, right? So I type
yes.
into Google, how do I think about redesigning my website? They're going to, like, for instance, for Double Your Freelancing, one of the biggest or most trafficked articles we have is start a freelancing business. On the back end, if you opt in on that article, I note that you're beginning, right? So I have different kind of, are you a beginner? Are you looking to scale an agency? And I can tell, you don't need to tell me, I can tell by virtue of the fact that you showed up organically on that page that you're probably not looking to, scale from 1 to 10. I think those signals are really a big thing. And I think what you're doing, like you just mentioned, people looking for email templates are looking for right now, what do I do, versus somebody who is maybe opting in on a, what should I make as a X article?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And this is something I'm getting better at over time, right? You know how it is, like when you're solo, especially, you just focus on one thing and get good at it. And so I kind of have gone like top of funnel down. And so that's where I've been over the past few months. I've been spending a lot of my kind of brain power is trying to get into the head of the people who come to my site and understanding how urgent their need is, what their need is, and really thinking, not just like, how do I sell them this thing, but thinking like, okay, what headspace are they in right now? So like you mentioned, somebody who's trying to go from 0 to 1 employees or trying to start their own thing as a freelancer, just get started, is in a much different place than somebody who's trying to scale from 1 to 10, right? They have different revenue, they have different timeline. The person that you described probably has a day job and is, trying to pick up just side gigs when they can, or just trying to get one referral here and one referral there. And that person is much different than somebody who's looking to scale a business that's already profitable or has a lot of revenue or whatever. Right. And selling to them is going to be different. Engaging with them is going to be different. The earlier you can start thinking about that, the better, right? The earlier you, even all the way up to that Google query, like you said, what did they Google? And what does that say about where they are right now in their business cycle? What are they trying to accomplish? And then how you engage with them, how quickly you try to sell, what you try to sell them is going to change based on who that person is and where they are right now.
So it's one thing for the people looking for email templates who need help now, and you have that minute video on the thank you page that, I mean, does that ever result in any paid conversions, or is that?
So far, it doesn't. That you can buy something on the page, but it's not designed to convert immediately right now. I want them to convert in the next day or so is what I'm hoping. So it's really designed just to slow them down and alert them that they do not have to respond to their job offer right now. So they have more than 2 hours. They have 24 to 48 hours is what I'm trying to convey there.
So a typical freelancer agency is probably going to, I would assume, separate inbound leads into two buckets, one of which would be people looking around the marketing site, looking at your process, looking at the services you offer. You're probably going to want to dump down a, you know, some sort of book a sales call kind of funnel.
Yes.
For those who are not, who are attracting leads, who are not yet ready to make a decision, they don't yet have a project on the table, they haven't budgeted anything, what do you think the best approach would be for somebody who maybe you produce a long form? Like, so for instance, we, as an agency, we didn't do much content creation online, but we would do in-person seminars, which is just a different method of distributing content. Mm-hmm. And we had really good feedback to, you know, we were a web development company. We built software for businesses, and doing things that, like, one of our most popular seminars was one on what do you do when you kind of hit the upper bounds of Excel, right? Mm-hmm. And these are people who maybe they have a single spreadsheet that's powering a big core chunk of their business. They don't have much when it comes to auditing. A lot of them are emailing the latest and greatest file around the office, and you never know which one is the authoritative one. Or, you know, there's no, at some point it makes sense to develop maybe internal software that powers the same workflows, right? So we would go after people who used Excel and were frustrated with Excel, but were not shopping for software development consultancies. And that worked well for us. But what I'd like to hear is, for you specifically, what have you seen works well on your back end for somebody who is marginally interested in making more money at their job? And how do you typically bridge them to booking coaching with you?
Yeah, so I think it starts with my own positioning. So, that's not true. So the first thing that I want to do is just make sure that they know that I offer coaching. So pretty early on, I start working in. So most of my funnel is designed to say, hey, I can help you negotiate your salary. And then the question is sort of, how can I help them best? And so I'm constantly experimenting with that question. But what I want to do is tell them up front, I coach people. Here are the kind of results that they get. Here are the kind of people that I coach. A lot of this came from earlier this year. I started really narrowing my positioning to be salary negotiation coach for software developers who want more job offers and want to earn a higher salary. And so I can then use that and say, well, in using pre-scripts and emails and just casual mentions even, I'll just say, you know, my coaching clients get results because of this technique, and I'll just mention it. So I'm not even like hard selling it. I'm just making sure that they're aware. And the reason I'm doing that is with something like a coaching offering or a consulting offering, it's less, I think, sort of like a direct sales pitch and more letting them know that this offering exists and then telling them more about it when they're ready to hear more about it. But the first thing I want them to know is, oh, Josh will work with me in a much more hands-on, one-on-one way. And he works with other software developers. And so if I want to work with him in that way, to work through my offering, have him show me what to do instead of reading a book or taking a course, he's available to do that.
So you don't blindside them. You're not like surprised by something. None of that ever happens. You've made it very clear from day one that you're in the business of helping people individually with a lot of the generalized content that you write about. And here's some of the results that others have had who have engaged you.
That's right.
Okay.
And then what I'll do is just remind them, because a lot of it's interesting that, like, for salary negotiation coaching, a lot of times it happens right away. And so even the NASCAR problem, that's really not a problem for people if they're already in a place where they're making the kind of salary where they can justify my fee. if they're a software developer, you know, so for example, if they're a software developer who's expecting a job offer from Facebook in the next 2 weeks, they know that they should work with me and their offer is going to make my fee trivial to them. The ROI is going to be pretty obvious. And so just making them aware, they'll sometimes book, you know, within an hour of getting a job offer and we'll just work together because they know that I offer that. Sometimes though, it's a much longer tail. It's somebody who comes back to me. Maybe they didn't take me up on the first time. They're on my list for a year or two. And then they come back and say, hey, by the way, I'm changing jobs. I regretted that I didn't work with you last time. I thought I could handle salary negotiation. I didn't do a good job. I want to work with you now. And so it's not with the coaching. It's more like I just tell them who I work with and what I'm about. And then give them an opportunity to click a link and read my coaching page anytime that they want. And then, of course, if they click that link, I'll follow up with them and teach them more about coaching or ask them questions. But it's a much, I would say, softer sell. And I don't know if this is typical, like in your world, for higher dollar consulting and coaching. But for me, I find that it's less of sort of a hard sell and more of a making them aware. Here's where you can get information, because those people will select themselves in my experience where they're just naturally thinking, I have money to spend. I know that working with Josh could be worth tens of thousands of dollars to me. I'll go learn more about it. And then they'll apply to work with me.
The thing, I mean, it sounds like you, what you're doing is you're keeping yourself front and center, and that early on your onboarding emails are doing this. They're introducing you and some of the success you've had with other people. But I'd imagine, I mean, are you, when you create new content, do you send it out list wide and then continue to reinforce the consulting element? Like, what does that look like long-term for people?
Yeah, long-term, it's a mix. So I kind of, you know, once or twice a month, I send weekly emails, by the way. So once or twice a month, those emails will be focused on, you know, coaching type results or experiences. And so not focused in the sense that I'm writing about coaching, but they're about a topic that somebody who might be interested in coaching would be interested in.
Right.
And so they'll read that topic. And then I'll have a call to action that is, you know, click here to learn more about working with me as a salary negotiation coach, or in the prescript, sometimes I'll do it, you know, if I have a couple of slots open, I'll just send a prescript that says, hey, if you're a software developer expecting a job in the next four weeks, click here to learn more about working with me as a salary negotiation coach. Here are the kind of results people typically get. So yeah, like you said, front and center is what I do mostly. Is I just want to keep reminding them, like, hey, I'm available if you need my help. And usually what I found is when I ask people, because early on I was coaching and I honestly couldn't believe that people were paying me to coach them when they could just buy my book. Right. And I said, so the first couple of people that paid me, I said, why didn't you just buy my book? And the answer was, I just want you to tell me what to do. So, you know, they don't want to read a book. They don't have time, or they just don't have the, you know, they just want to know what are the tactics that I need to use to negotiate my salary.
Right.
So I share tactics in emails with them. And then I just remind them, like, hey, if you're looking for somebody just to tell you how to get more money, you know where to find me.
Right.
And I just tell them over and over again. And then of course, you know, I have my coaching page that describes my pricing matrix and my options and has an application button. And that's like where they kind of fall into the coaching funnel. And hopefully we'll fill out an application and I can meet them and talk to them. But it's just, like you said, front and center.
I mean, I like this. I mean, you're basically just soft selling people continuously. You're not doing hard sale, loud emails, bye. Instead, you're just sending out a lot of valuable educational content and you're reinforcing constantly, I can help you. Here's more info. Do you do anything that is more intentional ever in terms of maybe say they click that link about learning more? I've seen people who put them, you know, use that as a trigger link, then put them on a specific sequence that goes a little deeper and maybe it's a little more intentional. Are you doing anything like that?
I'm working on that. So I have a sequence loop written for coaching to do that. I'm trying to figure out the best way to kind of get them into that little side quest, if you will. But what I do is I use a trigger link, and if they do visit the coaching page and click through to it, then I'll follow up with them and just ask them if there's anything that I can help with right now and that sort of thing. So again, sort of a soft sell, but I'm aware that they clicked on a link to look at my coaching page. I'm aware through Drip that they visited my coaching page. And then I reach out and just say, hey, is there anything that I can help you with right now? Do you have a job offer coming soon? That kind of thing. I do think that educational sequences for people, especially I'm starting to offer, I don't know if you experience this as well, but so I have my core offering, which is salary negotiation coaching. Basically, you have a job offer and I will help you turn that job offer into a bigger job offer. Mm-hmm. But then there's also what I call career coaching, which is maybe folks who are struggling to even get job offers.
Right.
And so I can work on them with their own positioning. And so that's a much slower process where I think an educational sequence would be really good, where I can reach out to them and say, if you're struggling to get job offers, click here and I'll tell you how I'd help. And then I can put them into a sequence that says, here are some things that you might not be thinking about and that kind of thing. I think that's a very valid plan. I haven't been using it yet, but only because my core offering, I don't think requires it. But I think some other offerings that I have will benefit from that.
But I think it's good. I mean, I'm looking here at, I'm looking at your coaching page now. It's a good sales page that, again, I'm willing to bet most people go never come here directly. It's always through an email of yours. So they've already, they're already familiar with you. They've already benefited from you in some way. And then your funnel seems to be from this page, getting them into a free 15-minute consult. Mm-hmm. Where you ask them to apply, which again, or not again, but psychologically kind of sets it up as a, I need to vet you, not just you need to vet me. And I mean, the good thing is, the thing I love about funnels like this are you're sending out weekly emails. These are going out to your subscriber base. You've got systems in place, content in place that's continuously getting 100, 200 people a day added to your subscriber base. And then each of these emails going out is pushing people to the coaching page, I'd assume. Then applications come in, which are basically people saying, you know, shut up and take my money. Mm-hmm. And you just need to optimize for that type of funnel, and everything downstream just presumably works.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice position to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice because I can kind of throttle it up or throttle it down. So you will not, like early on when you meet me, usually I'm telling you more about products. And the reason is that I can only take so many coaching clients and do a good job for them without scaling, without adding people. And so like sometimes I won't even, I'll make it hard to find coaching because I just don't want people to find that funnel. And then when I want them to find it, I can flip some switches on my site and change my email tone a little bit. And now I've got people that are clicking through that page and a few of them applying.
But I mean, that's the goal, is your throughput of leads. If you want to think of a coaching call as a project lead, you're in control of. I mean, you've got, I mean, granted, you can't say I need 10 people right now to.
Right.
However, you've got the right levers in place that you can throttle up and down the exposure that your consulting offering is having.
Yes.
And you've got, again, the ability to, I mean, the good thing about it being in your position, and if there's one thing hopefully people get out of this interview is this, is that you're now at the position where if you need to, say in the words of like Amy Hoy, make money happen, you could probably go right now, send out an email to your list, incentivize them with some sort of flash discount for your coaching or something, and probably book yourself solid. You need to. And that's a very nice position to be in. And the good thing is, the way you've modeled the system again is your focus is on selling people to enter your list, not selling people to book you or hire you or buy from you. You've already done, you've set in stone the systems that do that. Now you just need to go and create more content, go on more podcasts, do more guest posts, get more exposure, get more inbound prospects in front of your content that then systematically gets 4 or 5% of them or more to opt in. And now it's, I mean, you're in the position that I think I'm at now with Double Your Freelancing, where my focus on 2018, the funnel's done. My focus is now on, okay, so I'm getting, you know, I don't get the traffic you get. I get about 1,000 people a day from Google hitting my site. But now, all things being equal, I'm thinking, well, if I could get 2,000 a day, do I effectively double my revenue considering all this funnel's there? Right.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice position to be in. And granted, with consulting, that doesn't, you probably don't want to sell twice as many hours, but you can look into things like, you know, raising your prices substantially, doing more workshop or group-based offerings, or, you know, something like that, right? And that's when, in my mind, things really start to unlock at that point.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I think the important thing is you've got to get traffic. You can do all the optimizations in the world, and if you're getting, you know, 100 visitors a month to your site, there are businesses, I think, where that would be plenty to sustain a real business, but for the most part, it's going to be real challenging to turn that into meaningful revenue that you can live on. Right. Whereas if you have a lot of traffic, then the challenge becomes, well, what do I do with this traffic? What kind of funnel do I need? How do I pitch the right thing to the people that are coming through at the right time and that kind of thing? And those are different business problems to solve.
Right.
But like you said, you know, if I double traffic, do I double your freelancing revenue? I don't know. That's a question, but it's something that I think that you can find out, right? Like you can see how it scales. Whereas if you don't have any traffic, can I double revenue to double your freelancing? I don't know how. I don't know where it would come from, you know, if I don't have any traffic. So you start with traffic and then you can start optimizing the traffic.
Well, I mean, you also get to play with a lot of different levers. You know, it's a matter of, well, what if I get it from 4 to 5% to 6 to 7%? And then what if I get that, increase the amount of people who click through to my coaching, you know, site or coaching sales page, increase that by 10%. Or what if I work on the sales copy on that page to increase the number of people who click on the apply button by also say 10%. I mean, that's when you've got these metrics and you've got this funnel, the good thing is you can start to value things. I don't know if you've done this, but you can start to figure out what is the value per subscriber, value per person who views the coaching page. You work backwards from your value per customer. And when you're at that point, you can start saying, well, look, I'm getting, you know, I'm effectively making say $10 every time somebody joins my list. Well, what are some interesting ways that I can get people on for $5? Something like that, right?
Right.
And that's when I think all of this gets extremely interesting and fun.
Yeah. And I think that's 2018 for me. Like you said, I have traffic coming in. I have funnels set up. I've got my products pretty much ironed out. I have my service offerings ironed out. And then I think the next phase for me is to really put some robust metrics in place and try and figure out what's the lifetime value of a customer, what's the average order value for digital product buyers. And then I can reverse engineer to say, well, how much can I spend either time or money to get more of those kinds of people? You know, and I know that you're also really good about segmenting people to say, not only what's the average value, but like which types of people are most likely to buy higher dollar things for me? And how do I find more of those kind of people? So not just anybody who's Googling for this term, but the specific type of person who has this specific need that I can help and who perceives that need to be a valuable problem to solve. Who are those people?
Where
do
like you just said, that's where segmentation comes in. That's when things, I think, even get more interesting when you're not just looking at overall opt-in rates, but you could start looking at, well, how many people who opt in are at the point where right now they're ready to negotiate their salary. And, you know, what is the value of somebody like that versus the value of somebody who's just in the exploratory phase? Maybe the exploratory phase people are actually more valuable long-term. And if so, you need to start realizing, well, I can recoup, you know, 100% of my customer lifetime value for somebody who wants it right now within a week. But somebody in the exploratory phase, it might take me a year. And you start to look at the pros and cons of and being more intentional. And do I attract more of the exploratory people, or do I try to attract more of the people who need help right now? And again, when that's why thinking through this stuff, I think is so, even if you're just starting out, I think it's important to think through all that becomes available to you when you start looking at having a proper sales funnel and how you start looking at the valuations of people when they enter this funnel, the effectiveness of each stage of the funnel and so on. And yeah, I mean, that to me, I like numbers, and that's probably one of the most interesting things that I get to do more or less on a week to week basis. You know, it's not my full time, but I like looking at the trends and the stats, a little bit each week and making experiments based off what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I mean, that's one reason I mentioned that I go through cycles with that kind of thing, and I run experiments and don't look at them, is because if I look at them, I'll become obsessed with the stats and stuff. You know, how can I get this to go up 5% in the next month? It's easy to get caught up in that stuff. So I do think it's like, it's important to look at that stuff, but also important to realize that for most of it, there's very little you can do in one day that will affect it. And so it's better to do some things, let them run, and then go do some other things in the meantime. And then come back and look at the results, and you can just, you know, I find that I just kind of go through like my funnel itself, top of funnel all the way down to bottom of funnel, little sections at a time. And so I'll spend some time at the very top of, how do I get more traffic? Okay, I'm getting more traffic. How do I turn more of those into email subscribers? And all the way down the funnel, more sales, and then, you know, more resales or cross sells or whatever. How do I turn into coaching clients? And then I'll find myself right back at the top of the funnel. Okay, let's get more traffic, you know? But it's a good way to work. You know, when you, like you said, you have to focus, you know, on things one at a time pretty much to do well, unless you have a team.
Right.
So I think that's the way to do it.
Well, Josh, as always, this has been a blast. You and I could probably, and I'm sure we will, geek out on this stuff for hours, but
easily.
Time has expired. So fearlesssalarynegotiation.com is the best website to find out more about you. How can people reach out? I think you're what, Josh Judy on Twitter?
Is that? Yeah, Twitter is the best way to get me just because I'm on there all the time. So if you mention me on Twitter, I'll get right back to you. So if you're not on my email list, that's probably the easiest way to reach out. Or I'm on LinkedIn too because of the world that I'm in the career world. So you can always look me up. I'm Josh Judy on LinkedIn as well.
Or you could corner the two of us this April in Las Vegas at MicroConf probably.
Yeah, come find us at the opening night mixer.
Yes. Well, Josh, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Brendan. That was fun.
You've been listening to the first season of the Double Your Freelancing Podcast. To download the book that we've put together that covers everything that we've discussed, all the resources we've linked to, and actionable takeaways from this season, head on over to doubleyourfreelancing.com/season1 and download it for free.